you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. With great warranties, and I made sure on the Ford Explorer I bought, I got the great warranty. Chris and Jared could not have been tremendous pros. Great guys, tremendous pros. And also looked around the lot for a little bit. A lot of great pre-owned inventory there. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department. Routine difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we now bring in the outstanding Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here. I hope you guys are doing well.
So I have to ask you about your Timberwolves. it really, they spent most of the season as the one seed, and, you know, through circumstance, whatever, fell to a third. And they are taking the world champions right now to the woodshed. I don't know how much you follow them, because you seem to follow everything, but what's it like in Minneapolis right now with this group?
I could go for days on this, because it's like we've had this very small circle of diehard Timberwolves fans.
Yeah.
And even saying that is kind of hard, because it's like embarrassing. You know, you really didn't get into that. I watched when LeBron was in his second stint with Cleveland. I went to a game and watched him play. And Cleveland clearly was, you know, vastly superior, and we knew that. We're used to watching the Timberwolves lose. You go to watch other people for the most part.
Right, sure.
Watching them, though, the sense was, it's funny to me that these teams play in the same league, because when I look at an NBA champion-level team, the last thing I'm thinking about is the Timberwolves. Like, it's nowhere close to that. And you see them on that level now. It's unreal. It's the weirdest feeling to watch. And we knew they were going to be good this year. We knew that there was a shot of them, you know, actually winning a playoff series. You know, it's something they don't do. That's a big win for us. The fact that they are smacking Denver square in the mouth, and the fact that came off a soul-cleansing sweep of Phoenix.
Yep.
A team that dominated the Timberwolves. I mean, it was their kryptonite. I hate that cliche, but the Timberwolves fell apart when they played Phoenix for whatever reason, and they absolutely massacred that team in a few of those games. Mm-hmm. Some pretty tight ones as well, and the idea was, well, Phoenix is bad. You look at the way Minnesota's playing against Denver, it's like maybe Phoenix is still pretty good, because Denver does not have an answer at all. I mean, you took Gobert off the floor last night, and they beat him as Denver's been beaten all season. It was unreal. I mean, it was on a little late for me last night. I watched it early this morning, and I was trying not to wake my family up, jumping around. It was unbelievable how well they were playing. I've never seen that out of them, never.
Yeah, Gobert's wife had their first child, so that's why he missed last night in Denver. And on top of it, it's only the third time all season Denver's been held to under 100 points in back-to-back games. And last night in Denver, that was not competitive.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, it was over start to finish. That was the best part. You saw Murray melting down on the sideline. It's halfway through the second quarter, and the game is over. They're up 17 at that point, and Denver hadn't competed yet. You saw Malone freaking out about a call on a play, and you wonder if it's not kind of trying to rally his team and to show people he's still in the fight and they need to be as well. It was an act of desperation. Minnesota couldn't do anything wrong throughout most of that game. Easily the most complete game I've seen a team play this season. And I have never even thought about saying that about a Minnesota Timberwolves team. So it's been beyond exciting, and people are really starting to heat up to it just because you kind of get, well, you, Minnesota sports in general, you know, pretty pretty commonly associated with the one-and-done mentality in the postseason. But to see, you know, the Twins even won a series last year, it's things are coming around. It, you know, fans are starting to perk up a little bit. And Friday, I was just in a big group thread with a bunch of friends. My opinion, Friday's the probably the most anticipated Timberwolves game since the franchise started back in 91 or whenever that was. Just the atmosphere is going to be absolutely electric. It's going to be so much fun to watch. Really looking forward to it. I hope there are a lot of people that just don't like basketball, probably because they see regular season basketball. Watch playoff basketball. It's vastly different. Oh. It's really exciting. Yeah. This is one of the best times of the year on the sports calendar.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was the Big Ten tournament was the Target Center, so I did a couple of games in there in March. And part of that, too, was Penn State practicing in the T-Wolves facility, where the T-Wolves and the Lynx both practice. That's actually a pretty nice facility across the street. Not bad at all. Okay, the schedule release is normally the second Thursday in May. At the moment, it appears to be held up. And for whatever reason, nobody knows. But I find it remarkable that you already know the teams and people still watch this, Neil. I mean, you have to as a professional, but why?
I think it's just, one, and this is a whole separate topic, one, fans, and I'll admit this, I tell my staff, what we're writing for really is Joe Sweatsock, yep. Fictional character that is invested in sports, but he's going to present that he's invested in sports a lot more than he probably really is. He's not getting into the X's and O's. He doesn't need the presentation at a general manager level of what happened in a game. What Joe wants is basic information that he, and yes, she as well, can take back to his or her social media circle and share it and talk about it at a group accepted level. So in that, you're looking at something like the schedule. It's an event. It's something that Joe Sweatsock can very easily understand, and they can start mapping things out. Now, as far as the league and the delay and everything like that, you're right. We won't know, but almost a guarantee it's the combination of post-draft, who's going where the matchups are, and the long train car reaction that you'll get from moving one game from this spot to this primetime spot because now we want this, that created this matchup, and moving everything else around and then coordinating that with stadiums. You know, there's a lot of different things that go on with it. It's a full-time job for a staff of people who are doing this year-round. It takes a lot for them to put the schedule together. Now, at the same time, could they have done it last week? Not in a primetime spot? Probably. They're going to wait for the Thursday night opening when they can get it. Fans are always looking for NFL content that isn't necessarily breaking down the virtues of a Tampa 2 defense. You know, the simple things that they can understand, they really want to get into because it's fun. It's exciting, kind of getting to see the season be a little bit closer. You get to do all the projections of, you know, the running joke always is 12-4. I don't see a loss in the schedule. If they were 2-14 the year before, then they're going to be 8-8. You know, there's always a massive improvement from their team from one year to another. Kick-starting that discussion and having a tangible foundation on which to have that discussion, I think, is really what drives people. And it goes beyond the draft of what this sub-package defensive tackle can bring to them that they don't really understand. This is something they do understand. They know the Steelers are playing the Ravens on a Monday night game, Week 4. That's what we want to talk about right now. You know, the immediacy of it gives them kind of the quenching of thirst that the draft kind of took care of, but now there's a little bit of space in between it. We want something else because the rest of it's going to be kind of boring, at least until training camp.
We do know the opener is the Eagles, the game in Brazil. The Eagles and the Packers will be on Friday night on opening weekend. We also know that what built the NFL was happened to be the fans of this country. There's a lot of talk about them playing 18 games down the road. We'll get to that at a later date. But what about the number of international games that the NFL is playing? And what's the balance to you, Neil, between servicing the fans of this country that built it while branching out? For example, that's a home game for the Eagles, but the fans of Philadelphia didn't deserve to have a ninth home game?
It's a good question. And I think the NFL has been able to some degree dodge that. Primarily isn't the right word, but more than a little bit emphasizing teams that might not have ranked all that highly in attendance, had stadium issues, things like that. I mean, in Minnesota, the Vikings had, I think, two London games while U.S. Bank Stadium was being built. They didn't want to play in the Metrodome anymore for a variety of reasons.
Right.
Jacksonville has had, I don't know how many games in London. Clearly, there are connections and reasons why some of these teams would do it. But you're right. You know, to put the spotlight on two marquee franchises, one of them being arguably the most legendary within not just the NFL but with sports in general, those are big brands. Somebody's got to give up a home game. What do they get for that? We don't know. You know, they don't really talk about that. But I'm pretty sure Jeff Lurie is not doing that out of the goodness of his heart. You know, he wants the gate. He can get the money back, but it's not just about that. It's the look of it. What do season ticket holders say when, well, actually, you're not paying as much for season tickets this year because you're only going to get seven regular season home games?
Right.
I shouldn't even say that. I don't know the calculus behind the added game. Maybe they still have eight. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's complicated, I'm sure, and I'm sure there's more going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And they probably are in the position that they're in because they know how to play the long game. They're going to get something of it out of it. But I can say this without reporting anything specific. I have heard from sources in the Steelers organization at least once over the last 10 years that they're going to play an international game. And I think they had one preseason game somewhere. I forget. I think it was in Mexico fairly recently. But that's it. You know, they're not doing it. I think there's a reason why the Steelers aren't doing it. They don't really want to. So it makes you wonder who kind of has the credibility and the weight in the league, the pull within the league to say we're not doing this versus, you know, the Jaguars who had to, whether they wanted to or not. You know, maybe that's part of being the younger franchise. But there are, I'm sure, very long, drawn-out conversations. And I would add to your question the calculus behind Hard Knocks. The HBO show, I'm not even sure if that's going to continue for a whole lot longer. It's far less interesting than it used to be. They've cut down on a lot of it. I don't know what viewership is like, but the NFL clearly does not actively want to do that as well. The league does. Teams do not. Even if the Steelers qualified for, and they have recently, even if they qualified for inclusion in that show, I don't think there's a way in the world they would do that. I really don't see that happening. So maybe that connects to international games. They don't want to give up a home game. Maybe they need that more than Jeff and Lurie does. You know, I'm not sure overall, but it's an interesting question of how to balance that out. Now, they have the advantage now of that extra game. So you can say, well, you know, it's still an added bonus for you to have nine home games. And you're going to have eight home games next year, because your 17th game will be on the road. They do that by conference. So it does make sense. And in that regard, maybe the NFL wants to add to the schedule that way. We can play them just interconference. One team loses a home game, but, you know, kind of deal with it. We'll figure something out. I think they have that advantage built in, but they want more games and they want more international sites. But it's going to continue to be I don't know if debated is the right word right now, but I wonder if fans are particularly happy not getting a chance to go to that one game because they're, you know, the NFL needs to expand to Brazil for the reasons they want to do that.
Yeah, last I checked, it's also warm in Philadelphia in early September as opposed to December. I'll approach the 18th game. We know the NFL. They've been pushing for 18 games for what, 10, 12 years? All right. So they got to compromise to 17. If they do somehow get the Players Association to agree to 18, do they get more money from the networks to cover that based on what you know about the contract?
I wouldn't be sure of that, but at the same time, I think that's probably something you might file under the cost of doing business. If they want to throw in an itemized line in the contract for that, then they could. But I think when we're talking the amount of money overall, especially considering the amount of increase from one contract to the next that the NFL's had over the last 50 years, I would imagine the idea is they've paid for it. It's on them to get to the games. I know that. They have to figure that out on their own accord. I'm sure there's some, cooperation, partnership, maybe equipment sharing that goes on. NFL Network's usually what will cover the international games. CBS might have a camera there, but it's usually the local market will have that to be sure. On the local station.
Right.
It's a good question. Ask me next week. I'm going to look into that. I know a couple people to ask. I wonder what they would say.
Yeah, good. I'm glad we could plant that seed and go from there because, the league's a money tree. I mean, they've perfected taking a man in his 60s walking out with a card and telling you a name, and they've turned it into millions of people watching him do it.
Yep, that's the growth of American business, right? I mean, it seems to stack every year. I mean, for me, it goes back to kind of the pre-Brady Manning era. Think of it as the running back and defense era of the NFL, back when those things mattered.
Right.
Holistically around the league, you saw a completely different brand of football. You saw two running backs in the backfield. When's the last time you see that on a non-goal right. line situation play? It really doesn't happen, except maybe Detroit will run a package or two of that. But the rise of modern passing, not even West Coast style offense, but modern passing, vertical passing, in efficiency. It's created a different game, and I think that's been the key to the evolution of the NFL as opposed to, say, baseball. I know this is a really easy argument to make, but baseball is so locked in. It's so numbers-driven. Everything is pretty set. The game doesn't change a whole lot. The way that a guy swings a bat, how he stands and everything, sure, that kind of thing. But the actual gameplay itself hasn't really changed until recently when they made a base bigger. They put a pitch clock, a timer on pitching, things like that. That substantially changes the game. But it seems like the NFL has done that over and over again each decade. And it's become a different game for each generation. And each generation has warmed to their version of it. While old people like me will crow about the glory days from 30 years ago, but yeah. you see where that comes from, and that kind of evolution I think has created a new sport to a degree. You've heard me say this a bunch, and I'll probably say it for the next 20 years. Go back and watch the AFC Championship game between the Ravens and the Steelers today. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not recognizable compared to football today. It's completely different. It is not the same game. I know that there are basics, the fundamentals of things. It comes down to blocking and tackling. All that is true. But how they are calling the game, how the strategy is working, what they're doing in different situations, and even to a degree, to some degree, the skill of the players, but absolutely the athleticism of the players. It's a completely different game, and I think that is, in my mind, that's what's driven the financial success, is to, in a quiet way, they've been able to reinvent their sport in a way that isn't recognizable to the new generation, but the previous generation sees it. So it's something new to the new market, to the new audience, and they're going to consume it for what it is, without having to worry about the future direction of it so much. You know, they see it for what it is now. It'll be, you know, by this logic, it'll be this very different again in 10 years. I don't know what direction that's going to go, but it keeps people around. People continue to want to watch it, and with that, it's driving insane contract, insane TV and media deals. And they haven't even touched in new media a whole lot. You know, we still call it new media. It's not even new media to anybody except the NFL. They'll, you know, we've talked about streaming a bunch. They're still touching on that. That's not even like a mainstay. Other sports are doing that consistently every night. There's a lot more opportunity for them to continue to grow if they can keep the sport relevant to a generation that doesn't seem to be as interested in this overall as past ones have. And to me, that's kind of where the Brady versus Manning thing comes in. You had compelling theater with that. What's it going to be in the next generation? Where's the game going to go? You know, the strategy of it will change. Heroes will emerge. Will they have that kind of star power? I don't know. But that's, to me, that's really all the NFL needs. Generation in and generation out is those hero figures, the mythical, you know, legendary guys doing battle on the field. They get that. People are going to follow it. And, you know, they're going to break out their wallets for the opportunity to continue to watch it.
Go T-Wolves, go, man. All right.
Let's do it. Friday night.
Friday night, game 3, Nuggets, Wolves, Target Center. Neil, by the way, chip and dip night at his place. Great to
Absolutely.
Be with you, my friend.
Come one, come all.
Yeah, that's right. We're all in, buddy. Hey, you're awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you.
Neil Coulong. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Catrillo, take 2. I don't know. Are you sure this time?
I'm never sure about anything until somebody picks up the phone or calls me.
This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Studio this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yes, if you want to get through this segment, Brewers Outlet is recommended. With that, we bring in Matt Cotrillo, whose son can't even get the ball halfway up to the... You can lower the basket, you know.
Well, and how else are you going to learn? Because then you turn into Tobias Harris. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, brutal.
So you know what? If Corey's looking for more employees, maybe you should contact Tobias because he may not get one after this.
And the other ones out there with a weed whacker, that's illegal.
Hey, if the passion's there and he wants to do it, I'm supervising him. You know, it's all good. My yards never look better now because he's literally doing it every day. And I'll take it.
Okay, ever hear of child labor laws? All right, so... I mean, really, you haven't been emotionally the same since Aaron Judge, who's now become a whiner, has got thrown out of a game.
Well, it wouldn't be the case. He wouldn't have been a whine about it if the MLB umpires would stop their whining and actually, like, you know, pretend to do their job correctly and not worry about what everybody else is saying about them and actually know what a ball and a strike is.
They threw him out. He earned it.
That wasn't nearly as bad as we've seen others do. And the big thing is, to me, he's walking away from the umpire, and he just says a couple of things, and he was right. It was outside. And plus, you had more complaining about balls and strikes later in the game from the Tigers on the other side. And guess what? That was a strike on the outside part of the play where the troublesome spot was. In Aaron Judge's case, everyone's saying it, everyone's trying to refer to and keep the strike zone going with him because of his size. I think that's a bunch of baloney. But in that particular case, the ball, it wasn't, no matter if it was high or low, it was outside. That was the problem. It wasn't low or anything. That was right there on the knees, but it was outside. It was not on the corner. It was outside, so therefore it was a ball. Aaron Judge had every right to complain about it. The umpire needs to keep his mouth shut and keep trying to play and call the game the way he should be and do his job.
What about all the strikes that Judge grounded to short?
Well, yeah, that's on him. I should be complaining about that. I reserve to complain about that. But at least I think he may have turned the corner, maybe. But luckily, everybody else has been hitting so far. So I guess there's that, but he needs to get it going. Because you can't, for every ground ball into a double play for Judge, is a strikeout by Giancarlo Stanton.
These are your people. This is what you paid $80 billion a year for.
Which is why I'm amazed that the Yankees still have one of the best records in baseball right now. It really is. It's been amazing to me, but I just keep waiting. How long is this going to last? Because I really don't think the way the Yankees are built, they can sustain this, but somehow they still are for now. So we'll see what happens. But I tell you, the minute injuries happen, then I think we'll start seeing things go down south. But I guess for right now it's working. We'll see how long it lasts.
Well, you're not in first place. I mean...
No, yeah, Baltimore's right there in that conversation, too. Yeah, I mean, that was a bad series for them. What happened in Baltimore is kind of what I expected from the Yankees all season, but
this is what
I guess it was just one of those things.
So what you have to remember, right? There's a reason why Baltimore took them to the woodshed. They're better.
Yes, absolutely. If you ask me at the beginning of the season, O's are easily the favorite for the AL East. There's no question about it. But they got off to a little bit of a slow start, somehow lost 2 out of 3 of the Pirates. The Yankees obviously had their hot start, and things have kind of changed a little bit. So things have been kind of even between both of them so far, and O's took the first series pretty handily, which I wasn't necessarily surprised by, but... After you score, but when you score 30 runs in 2 games, I thought the bats might be a little bit better than what they were. But as John Chilling used to say, that's baseball, Susan. But it can't happen again and again and again is the problem.
That's baseball, Susan. So what else are you complaining about?
Well, we had that, and I'll save the Sixers for last because I have still have plenty to comment on there. But only because I was talking to Todd about this before I came on, is this whole Tom Brady roast thing that happened that was on Netflix that maybe two people watched. I mean, that was, if you want to talk about a waste of time, waste of money, waste of energy, waste of airspace, that was it right there. This guy just needs to go away, and then when it's time for football season, then you come back on. And also, I don't want to hear about, oh, maybe I'm thinking about coming back or not, try and pull a Brett Favre. Because guess what? If he does that, I think that tarnishes his legacy a little bit. I don't care how many Super Bowls he's won, how many he's in, all the records he's broken, nonetheless. But that whole thing was extremely distasteful between the jokes that Drew Bledsoe said and then the way Tom Brady joked about Deflategate, which he knew he was guilty all along. I mean, was some of the process a little bit flawed? Yeah, but the bottom line is Tom Brady knew he'd do it. He should have been punished, and he was. But the fact to bring it up like that and just say you might as well pay me the $20 million, that just acknowledges the fact that, yeah, you were guilty the whole time. So you know what? I keep my mouth shut, brother. I would. So there's that. Then he tried to insult the Eagle fan base with outrageous words that I think he just didn't know how to insult the Eagles fan base, because he probably still has Super Bowl 52 still going through his brain and having nightmares of Brandon Graham knocking the ball out of his hand. So we tried to go that. That was cute, but a really bad attempt. Just the whole thing was dumb. The whole thing was absolutely dumb and a waste of time.
Well, what we don't know is usually something like that is done, there's a charity involved.
I guess so. I haven't seen anything there. And if it was, I guess good for them. They got the money, but that was in a very distasteful way, one way or the other.
I didn't see a second of it. I mean, like, I didn't see a second of it. I didn't care either way. You know, and the Eagles fan base, I mean, you can easily insult them any day of the week.
You can. I've seen it all before, but just like you can tell, this was him trying to spitball something, and they just came up with an outrageous word of racist out of nowhere. And like, no, we haven't seen any of that. If you want to say, you know, they'll get on you in loudmouth, whatever, okay, fine. I can deal with that. But racist? Come on, man. You're just trying to find something.
It's very easy. I mean, look, between Santa Claus, Dollar Dog Night, and the little brother attitude when it comes to the Cowboys. I mean, the little brother thing. I sit there and go, what's wrong with you people? You've been the better franchise for 30 years.
Can't blame any more the Dollar Dog Night to Phillies fans, because it happened at Citi Field, I think. I saw it happen the other day. Maybe it wasn't Citi Field, but fan base that did it and got rid of it, too. So the Phillies are not the only ones that happened to it anymore.
They have 42,000 hot dogs they sold that day. That was the story. They sold 42,000 hot dogs. Now, they would have sold 42,000 hot dogs in Philadelphia, and 38,000 would have ended up in the field after a fight in the stands. These are your people.
Well, it comes to baseball, we go our separate ways, but I get what you're saying here.
These are your people. You know? Come on. Right? That's why I thought Christmas Day was a perfect day for the Eagles to do Dollar Dog Day in combination with Santa Claus. It would have been the perfect storm.
I'm glad that didn't happen, by the way, because that was one of the more bizarre games that you're ever going to see. So probably a good thing that didn't happen that day.
So you're going to save the Sixers for last, huh?
Yes. As for the basketball team and the basketball team's GM, what his entire press conference. Now, I get it. I get the argument where I'm going to hear is, well, he's honest, and you rip him, and then you rip him when he's not honest. I am perfectly fine with his honesty, and I give him a lot of credit. But did he come out looking like the smartest person in the world? No, he comes out looking like a dope who doesn't know how to judge this basketball team, which is what I've talked about for the last 2 weeks, and gives me absolutely zero hope that he can do anything this offseason to try and revamp this team a little bit for it to become a contender. I mean, the fact that you admitted for Buddy Hield that it wasn't as good a fit as I thought, that's your job. That's your job to know these things. You've had 3-4 years now to figure out what's a good fit and what's not with Joel Embiid. You can't figure it out what fits around Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey after 3 years. Then how are you the GM of this team? You shouldn't have a job right now. That was, I mean, honestly or not, that was embarrassing what he said yesterday, that entire press conference. It basically shows that I don't know anything and I don't know how to build around this team, but if I had 3 years to do it and I've wasted money and time and wasted time on the fan base as well. You can say everyone, oh, I owe it all to the fan base to get it right. You've had 3 years and you admitted you have no idea how to get it right. So what makes me think you're going to get it right this time? And based on reports, you're still going down that rabbit hole. Paul George would be a horrendous idea to add for the 76ers. Because, first of all, it's Daryl Morey again being, I don't know why he likes washed up stars, but we're going down that rabbit hole again. And a guy that definitely cannot coincide with Tyrese Maxey, if you ask me. If you go with the LeBron route, that also is going to be a circus because you bring all the media hype around it, then you probably have to waste a draft pick, even though it's a second-round draft pick probably on Bronny James. I don't want any of that. If you're going to go after anybody, it's Jimmy Butler because of the rapport that he and Joel Embiid have and still have. I think he'd be a nice compliment to Tyrese Maxey, and he's a guy I think that can get you over the top. And I get the injury history, but you know what? At this point, I think it's worth the risk anyway because he gave $180 million to Tobias Harris, and what the heck did he do? He gave you maybe a couple of good buckets here and there. He gave you a pretty good Game 5 that extended the series, but then he gave you Squadola again in Game 6. At least with Jimmy Butler, he'll fight tooth and nail and keep you alive in the series and maybe, like, win you a game or two when it counts. So that's just kind of where I am with the Sixers right now. I'm becoming pretty apathetic with this organization because it officially was shown yesterday. Daryl Morey said it. You heard it from the horse's mouth that he has no idea and still has no idea and had no idea how to build around Joel Embiid and make this team a contender. And I have no hope for him to do it.
No, he's done. Okay. You barely take a breath. It's interesting on Buddy Hield. The day that they made that trade, Dick Girardi and I were talking on the phone, and the two of us were laughing. We said, they think this is going to put them over the top. He said, you have to be kidding me. And as for the Sixers, Keith Pompey and I are in complete agreement. You need to start building really good role players around the two guys you have.
Exactly. And they had the chance to do that with guys like OG Anunoby and Bogdanovich. And guess what? They went to the Knicks, and they beat you soundly in that series. Those are guys they have to sign, not these crazy washed-up stars. So, yes, you and Keith Pompey are absolutely right, and that is what drives me crazy about Daryl Morey, as he still can't get through that through his head.
Sometimes you get so enamored with a name that, and you know, it's a big name, so you get enamored with it, so you feel like you're hitting the home run, and it doesn't fit, and that's the problem with what the Sixers have been doing. It just doesn't fit. They don't fit.
Yeah, even a guy like Pascal Siakam, who went to the Pacers, and he's made a difference for him. And guess what, Daryl? You have, those are two of those three guys won a championship with your current head coach a couple of years ago. If that doesn't ring a bell, nothing will. Which, again, Bruce, my point before, I have no faith that this guy knows how to build a roster around these two players.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think he really did a great job at building whatever he was doing down in Houston either.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, anything, but when you look back on it as a whole picture, anything is better than what Sam Hinkie and Brian Colangelo did, because those two things were absolute embarrassments. But you're right. Daryl Morey still does not have any championships to show for all these crazy moves and things he's done. When you look at his days in Houston and now with the Sixers, absolutely.
Is there anything else bugging you?
You know what? I would keep going with the NBA officiating too, but we've already talked about that, and that again reared its ugly head in that Knicks-Pacers game from what I saw last night. I'm officially done with the NBA for right now in general, just because the whole league, the whole product stinks right now, and majority of it's because of the officiating. Secondly, it's because of what's been happening with this league for the last couple of years. It's always the same teams. It's the front runner fan bases. It's all these stars and Hollywood players getting in the middle of things and mixing up. It ruins the game. I could absolutely care less about any of the stuff that the NBA tries to suffer down your throats. And honestly, I think ESPN has also ruined this league a little bit with the amount of their convoluted coverage that they have. Now, that's not necessarily the NBA's fault, but I think that has a reason to do it too. So I've had it with the NBA for right now. I am not watching a single minute of the playoffs the rest of the year. I'll see what's going on and, you know, who wins and, like I said, what happened last night in the Knicks-Pacers game. But I'm all about baseball. I'm all about the Stanley Cup playoffs until football storms around again. I'm done with the NBA.
Drake is so disappointed in you. And Drake loves this show.
Oh, really?
Oh.
That's one thing I haven't noticed.
He thinks your rants are just priceless.
Well, yeah, because that's actually something that's coherent. Unlike his music. He probably couldn't even tell you who's on the Sixers right now except for Embiid and Maxey.
Oh, boy. Well, that makes him like most of the other Philadelphia fans, too.
I mean, Spike Lee and the other freaking jabronis that are on the court side for the Knicks. They probably know who Jalen Brunson is, and that's about it. I mean, please. The NBA
you do realize
has got a
Spike
lot of
Lee
problems.
Has had season tickets to the Knicks since like 1986.
Yeah. Spike Lee, I think, knows every Knicks player. I think it's that safe to say.
All right, maybe. All right, he might be. I'm sorry. Yeah, he might be the one exception.
Right.
I apologize about that.
I would also have a feeling McEnroe knows too. I mean, they go to every these guys go to every game.
That's true, but they don't necessarily pay attention. I'm sure they go there to show their face, have a couple of drinks, maybe. Talk with a couple of fans, get into it with the officials, but do they actually know the real essence of the game? Spike Lee, maybe. The other guy, I'll have to wait and see. But that's my problem.
I think if you get season tickets to something, and you show up most of the time, you know, certain like McEnroe can't show up every time. You must really be into it.
Hey, you're probably right. I don't know him, don't care to know him, but you could be right.
I mean, they both speak highly of you.
I also must have missed that.
If you would stop going the child labor law route and notice things around you, you might find out some stuff that people like, you know, Spike Lee cares.
What goes around comes around.
These people love you.
I mean, like I said, I try to be the man of the people, just maybe not necessarily that crowd.
Drake wanted to hire your kid to work on the yard.
Well, in that case, I may have to get back to him on that, because I can use those bucks.
Oh, Todd, here we go now. Oh, here comes the next request, paid appearances on the show.
I got a quarter in my pocket.
Please don't overpay. All right. Have a great week. I'm glad your yard looks so great. I'm thrilled about that. I mean, the method which it was accomplished is really a matter for local authorities to discuss.
We'll work on it.
I'd disguise it if I were you. All right.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As we continue from the Sunbury Motors studio here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.